CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is the first day of August, and here we are. We're live at 6 a.m. We've got Leanne, we've got Mash, we've got me, you got you, you've got everybody we need to have. Is that like a, are we all meant to do this thing? What, the wave thing? Yeah, let's all do it. What the hell?
It's the 90s worm.
The 90s worm. Well, that was a long time ago, Leanne. A long time ago. I don't even know if Mash can remember the 90s.
I was a sperm cell.
You're a sperm cell. You weren't even born yet. Oh, my God. Makes me feel pretty damn old, I'll tell you that much. All right, let's go. Let's get cracking. We've got a busy day ahead of us today and lots of things to do. By the way, someone reminded me yesterday. What are you doing, Leanne?
Leanne, what's wrong?
I need to plug in my laptop. Rookie error.
Oh, God. So someone reminded me yesterday that next Tuesday is a public holiday.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Which one?
No, what is it?
Women's Day.
Oh, I should have known that.
Yeah.
Is it a public holiday?
It is. So next Tuesday.
Yes, I present to you two a Women's Day public holiday.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
thank
sure.
Thank you, women.
If I hadn't told you, you wouldn't have known. So don't pretend you are suddenly on top of things. Please. Well, only problem with it being a Tuesday is that everyone's going to take the Monday off as well.
Yeah.
Except us. We'll be here.
We'll be here, yeah. Thank you, women. Thank you, Leanne.
No, thank you, government. Because someone said to me they thought that Madiba's birthday in July was a holiday. I was like, no, sorry, it isn't. But Women's Day is.
Yeah.
So you at least have that. And then we're pretty much like done with winter this month. This month it should be finished. Boom. Out of the way. No more. Oh. Someone said, here it is.
Leanne, we can't
Ruth.
Hear you. Sorry.
Yeah. Leanne, yeah, we can't hear you.
I was just saying I was bored of winter.
Yeah, we're all bored of it. Ruth says, good morrow. First day of the last month of winter. Yippee. And I assume that's how a lot of people are feeling. I'm also done with it now. It's enough. Oh, Tracy says, please, people, be right. It's persons with Womb's Day. It's not Women's Day. You've got to be careful. You're very offensive if you say that. No.
Oh, Wesley.
Yeah. All right. Anything fun happen over the weekend? What did you get up to, Mash?
Go for it. Oh, my God. How many dates did you go on?
Yeah, how many dates? Let's see what our serial data was up to this weekend.
So this weekend, there were no dates because I was sick. I actually had the worst flu this weekend, starting from around Friday evening.
Oh.
I was so sick. I was just trying to get better. And I actually did. So Saturday morning, I went to the pharmacy to get some meds. I went to Clicks.
Yeah.
And the most oddest thing, because I haven't been sick since lockdown ended, I haven't been to the pharmacy. And it was so weird being able to cough and sneeze and just, you know, and sniffle and all of that without anybody looking at me funny, without anybody actually stepping two steps to the left or to the right, trying to avoid me. So that was something very different. It was a very, very different experience. There was no mask on my face. So it just felt like, to me, like this whole COVID thing, it felt like it was just all made up. If I told you that 2 months ago, 3 months ago, if you were sniffling and coughing like that, people would be avoiding you,
giving you
nasty looks
and
just treating you like some sort of foreign object. You wouldn't believe me.
Yeah, shows you how much has changed.
So true. I was at the pharmacy recently and someone walked up proudly and said, I have flu symptoms. it was just flu. And they were so glad to be able to say it without being treated like a leper.
Well.
Without being ostracized.
They're trying to make us nervous about monkeypox. Have you seen? They're trying to drum up.
Yeah, the media's all over it.
Yeah. They're trying to drum up the
symptoms. A bunch of pox and monkeys.
Right.
How is this one spread again? The monkeypox?
Anal sex. Anal sex. No, really.
Yeah.
It's mostly through.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
No, it's mostly gay males, anal sex. There are like
really?
Yeah, there are two or three cases that have been transmitted in other ways, but it's usually that. So it's very specific.
Are you even allowed to say that?
Well, that's the whole problem, right? Is that people don't want you to say that because then it sounds like you're discriminating, but that's the disease, not us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to get upset about it, then I don't know who you're going to take that to, because nature doesn't give a shit about your complaints. Mm-hmm. And if it only affects a tiny, tiny percentage of people or a specific group of people, then it is to their advantage to know that it's going to affect them the most so that they can avoid it. Mm. And it's to the advantage of everyone else to know, okay, well, it's unlikely I'm going to get it. Otherwise, you get people panicking for nothing. But these days, you can't even say stuff like that, because then someone somewhere is going to go, oh, it's discrimination. And it's like, no, it's not discrimination. That's how the disease works, dummy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Anyway, only about 5 people have died in the whole world from monkeypox, so let's just calm our tits, please. There is no need for anyone to get uptight.
Well, anything involving the word sex, I'm safe. So.
Oh, yeah. No, for you, that's like...
Good for you, Leanne.
This is like Leanne is going to be...
Good for you.
Leanne's going to be as bothered by the monkeypox as I was by COVID. She's going to be like, well, let's do whatever we want, which is exactly what I did. Anyway... So, all right, you do anything cool over the weekend, Ass, while Mash was lying in bed trying to recover?
I have a very young aunt. So my dad is the oldest of 4 children, and she's the youngest.
Mm. All right.
So there's only a decade between us. And so we've been like sisters, really, throughout our lives. And she's lived in either the UK or the US most of our lives together. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen her in 14 years. And she and her family visited. They're here in South Africa. And it's just the best feeling ever.
That's pretty cool.
Every time I see her, I have to hug her. It's just so amazing to be together. And she has 3 children who are all almost in their 20s now.
Wow.
And we're just having a blast. I'm actually exhausted because she runs on, I don't know what she runs on, but she's always been very energetic and loves her wine.
Nice.
So we've had a very busy, long, long weekend. It's been amazing.
Well, that's pretty cool. I like that. Lovely. All right. Nice stuff. Mm. I'm just glad that someone's getting you out of the house occasionally. You know?
Yeah.
I know. I had to find clothes that didn't have holes in them.
You were becoming a proper hermit.
You're right. I won't argue against that.
Not good. I mean, you used to be the life and soul of the party, and now it's like, oh, Leanne, can you get her out of the house?
I'll get there. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, by then the whole world would have moved on. We won't know where to go with you anymore. So I was talking to a friend of mine last Wednesday. I had dinner with 2 of them, and I actually said to the one guy, hey, listen, stop being so hermity. He's like, because he was also just no excuse. He just had decided to maybe use COVID as an excuse to not do things anymore, which people do, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
So that
absolutely
that is no longer a valid excuse. I'm just putting it out there. So if you use that excuse with me, I'm not buying it anymore.
Mm. So speaking of weekends, I see you've grown a little.
Yeah, I got the moustache and the beard going properly now. I actually saw Ben on Saturday, and we were comparing the beard growth situation, and we're going to keep it going for, I think we agreed on the show, another 2 weeks, and then we're done. So I hope mine won't be embarrassing, but I'm going to give it a go. What the hell? You know, what have I got to lose?
Yeah.
If I look like shit, it won't be any different to how I looked without it.
I've been growing my pits since the beginning of
COVID. Oh, lovely, so Leanne. Thanks so much. Your armpit.
Look at you, Leanne.
Your armpit hairs. That's great. So we can get a competition going here. I mean, you and I and Ben, we can go and have our beards and our armpits, checked. I mean, it's so revolting. Look, Mash is stopping himself from throwing up.
Yeah, this one I'm not joining this time around.
All right, so Mash, I worry about you when you ask these health questions, but he wants to know, like, how often should you be going to the dentist? And as far as I know, you should go at least every 6 months just to have everything checked out. Mm. At worst, you should do it every year. Even if there's nothing wrong, the dentist might pick up that there's a little hole in the one tooth or, you know, something going on with your gums or something, and you need to check that stuff out. And it's such a horrible ordeal. I hate the dentist. It's just not my favorite thing, but you've got
to
do it, right?
I love going to the dentist.
You do?
I love the dentist, too.
What is wrong with you two? You like someone digging around in your mouth?
I usually make a double appointment, first with the hygienist and then the dentist, because I'm usually, I like to present myself with pride and confidence.
All right.
I love it. I get everything polished up and get to see the x-rays and everything's fine. Mm. I had to go recently and I had a bit of a tooth shaved down.
Mm. Feels Did good. That hurt?
No, because I've already had root canal on it. So he could do what he liked to it and it was fine.
Jesus.
Oof,
that sounds horrendous.
So yeah, you're supposed to go every 6 months. But when I was really, really young, you know, like you, Mash, he said to me, you really only need to come once a year because you're doing everything you need to.
Yeah. As long as you're flossing and you're just taking care of your teeth, then it's not really that much of a missed opportunity if you go there once.
Well,
it's
I mean,
not
listen,
really that much of that.
If you have a tooth problem, you know all about it, right?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, doesn't Homo Lemo have something going on with his teeth at the moment?
Yes, he does. Yeah. And this is actually the reason
he's on painkillers last week
up for me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. The whole week. So reason why this topic came about is because we're actually arguing in the office. And I was asking Homo Lemo specifically that why are you in this pain? Why are you having this problem now? Haven't you been going to the dentist? You could have actually avoided this problem coming about.
Mm.
And he was telling me about how, no, who goes to the dentist? And I was like, everyone goes to the dentist. I ask around in the office and everybody's like, nope. I haven't been to the dentist in like 7 years and 8 years and 9 years. And I'm like, that is so disturbing to me because I go to the dentist every 6 months. Every 6 months, I'm there with my mouth open.
Right.
And they're digging in my mouth. Reason being, ugh. I always say your teeth, when it comes to your teeth, the problems, well, prevention is better than cure. Once the pain starts, there's no going back. You're losing a tooth or you're getting some sort of hectic procedure done. So once the pain begins, there's no more going back.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, do get some really nice, good drugs when you go there.
It's my favorite part. Yeah.
I think that like that must be one of the worst jobs. And, you know, we've often spoken about how dentists are among the most suicidal professions.
Yeah.
Because people really
at one stage it was the job with the highest rate of suicide.
Might still be. Mm. You know, people don't really love their dentists, so I don't know if that's still true, but it's an awful job. I mean, imagine the kind of people you have to see when they have really bad halitosis or they've got like four teeth falling out and rotting away in their head.
There are jobs that are 50 times worse than that.
What's worse than having to breathe in someone's foul breath the whole day? Blech.
Gynecologist.
Mortician.
Okay, right. Okay, yeah, okay. Because, yeah, gynecologists only see unhealthy vaginas, right?
Yeah, you don't see the Lambos.
No, that's another one you have to go to every year.
The Lambos. I like that. That's great. All right, well, Michael says his dad has perfect teeth, and he's only been to the dentist twice in his life. No joke. Yeah.
That happens.
Wow. Lucky him. That's all I can say. Lucky him.
That's also part of my concern. And that is the fact that your teeth may look great, but you don't know what's happening beneath them.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. only once until it's too late, you have no clue. You could have the perfect white teeth, but inside they're just rotting from the inside.
Oh God, don't talk about it. Okay.
You'll never know.
I actually want to move on. This is not my favorite subject to talk about. I get very sensitive about this stuff. It's just not nice. Ugh. I think when I was very little, I must have been traumatized by the dentist, and it's never gone away. Mm. I mean, now I can grin and bear it, but I usually walk out of there going, when I'm done, I'm like so happy to be finished.
It anyway. Might have been your mom for all you know. She did threaten to put her cigarettes out on you.
She did. I shall never forget. She'll never forget. Uh-huh. All right. So a horrible story. You know, I'm always having a go at the environmentalists, but this is one that they will absolutely glom onto and for all the right reasons. And it sounds almost like a children's story when it starts. Tiny turtle. You know, it's like dum da da dum 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 dum, the tiny turtle da da da. Anyway, they found this tiny turtle that had pooed pure plastic from being on a Sydney beach. He shat plastic for what, 6 days? Mm-hmm. Just to clear a system of all the shit in the ocean, this little turtle. And that just makes me so angry with humans.
Yeah. It's horrible. I mean, we all know the free the turtles, save the turtles story.
Yeah, the plastic.
We
pollution.
Don't like to listen to it. The same thing as driving behind a truck full of cows on their way to the slaughterhouse. You know,
it's
the type of thing we don't want to face up to it.
No.
Every now and then, let's look at what we're doing.
Right.
And this in particular was a story that caught everyone because it was a little hatchling.
Mm-hmm.
He was found in a rock pool in Sydney. Found lying on his back. He was taken to Taronga Zoo. And he'd eaten so much plastic that, it took 6 days for the contents to come out. And he's only 127 grams, this little hatchling. He fits onto your fingers, basically, your palm.
Wow.
Also was missing a flip, one of its four flippers.
Oh, no.
He had a chip in the other. He had a hole in his shell.
Jesus.
Poor little guy.
It's like a disaster. This is like if, someone gives birth to a child and it's like got, one leg and it's got half a face and you're like, wow, this guy's going to have a tough life.
Yeah.
But this is their initial diet. Turtle's initial diet is plastic.
Jesus.
Not great, you know?
No, and that's
my biggest concern is... My biggest concern is how was it even alive at this point if it was eating so much plastic? There's no nutritional value in that.
He must have got something in there, but definitely was hanging on to the edge of life.
Maybe all the scraps of food and shit that were in the plastic were just enough to keep him going. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. But it just makes us think, we all go, oh, cute, look at the little turtles being born and making their way to the sea. And there they are eating plastic. It's just
It's horrible.
Horrible. What the hell are we doing? You know?
What
are we doing?
Didn't Michael Jackson sing a song about that? What if we end the world?
Many. Which one? The turtles are eating plastic.
But the worst part about all of this is that this is in Australia, where you imagine they probably have more rules to sort these things out than anything else. It's just, it's so silly. It's like when, people think that a president can sign a law and that everything will change. It's like, if all the presidents of the big countries of the world got together and they all signed a law to reduce carbon emissions, like that would just suddenly fix things. And it wouldn't. You have to be a bit, have to be a bit stupid to think that people signing a piece of paper is going to suddenly make everything better.
It's the same as raising funds, and that's something that Gareth, certainly in our era, we were taught to do from young, is to raise funds for good causes, and we'd have our lemonade stands and all the rest of it. And now we raise funds for certain things, and we're given money as an African country. There's no guarantee where that money's going.
Well,
there's no signature that's going to save that.
It's funny you should mention that. We've got a guy called Chris on a bit later on. He's spending 86 days in the Kruger National Park to actually raise money for the Smile Foundation. Now, we do know where that money goes to. That goes to help people who were born with, defects of the face, the mouth,
cleft
palates, hair lips, that kind of thing. And I know the Smile Foundation. I've seen the work that they do. I know the people who started that foundation. They really are superb. So it depends. On a small scale, you can do it. But when you get to like changing the amount of carbon in the atmosphere, do me a favor, please. Politicians. It's not going to change a damn thing. Anyway, so we'll speak to Chris a little bit later, and we've got Dr. Hanan joining us for a little bit of It's Going to Be Okay, and we've got an amazing, amazing story that someone wants to help. What? She's asking for help from Dr. Hanan to try and figure out a way forward with this family of hers. You've got to hear the story to believe it. It's unreal. So, yeah, I think I'm glad that August is here. It's my birthday month, and that does not please me. But it's
oh, it is too.
It'll be September soon, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to wish away the month of August.
Just like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at least, I mean, we've got to be grateful for the small mercies, right? We haven't, and I dare even say it, we haven't had to mention the words load shedding for a couple of days now. I wonder how long that'll carry on for. Holding thumbs, well, crossing fingers.
As mentioned with my family that's over from, they live in Connecticut now. But I was kind of disappointed that there wasn't any load shedding. I wanted them to feel what we go through.
Yeah.
It's kind of that like schadenfreude.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
You want them to feel all the pain that we've been going through.
I wonder if you looked at property sales and rentals in places where they don't have load shedding. Like, for example, around hospitals and things. I wonder if those properties are more expensive now.
And near diplomatic residences as well.
Correct. Mm.
Government buildings, they don't have load shedding there.
So I want to know.
Must be expensive.
I mean, I wonder if someone's made a map yet of where these areas are and how much more or less the property values have improved. You know, I'd be kind of curious to know if that's what's going on, because that would be really, really helpful. For example, if you were buying a new house or moving into a place or renting, and you knew you were in a no load shedding area, you'd probably be willing to pay a little more.
Yes.
Yeah.
If it was guaranteed. So how come no one's given us a map yet to show us, oh, well, these are the areas. We've been doing this for, what, a couple of years now. So we should know.
Mm.
Because I suppose it's controversial to highlight the fact that government housing doesn't have load shedding.
Yeah.
Right.
Although generally it is generally known. Some of these areas are generally known. I do have a friend in Johannesburg South who straight up said to me, no, some ministers live in my street, so we never have load shedding. So it is generally known, but it's just nobody has documented it. There's no document or any website where we can say these following areas are the areas with government employees or ministers rather living in them. So there's no load shedding ever.
Oh, that makes me very angry.
Oh, you and me both, Leanne.
Do you know who I am?
Pretoria as well. I have a friend who lives in Pretoria and she doesn't get affected at all. She's near all the diplomatic residences. Well,
we've got to find out where these places are. And all I'm saying is someone publish a map. Then we know. And then we also know who to be angry with. Like if we drive through certain neighborhoods, we go as we go past.
Toilet paper, their trees.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Eggs, right. Egg their houses, yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there are a lot of other things that are on the agenda for this morning. We are finished with Collectomania. That show, that feature is done. But we will be starting something new soon. And I also have to tell you that we're doing a new season of Blind History. But Anthony Miedere has actually moved on from Taylor, and he's decided to go into another different business. So we're actually looking for someone new to bring Blind History to you. But if you've got any ideas, or if you've got a business, if you love Blind History, if you want it, it's up for grabs now. So it won't be brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters anymore. It could be brought to you by you. If you're interested in it, you can tell us about that. Just send us an email. Gareth@cliffcentral.com, and I'll get onto it immediately. Especially if you know someone who's loved Blind History. We've done 6 seasons of it. It's been tremendously successful. So, you know, it could work for your business the way that it has for Taylor. And if you like it, this is your way of getting it to carry on. And you could be involved. You know, you can actually own the thing, which would be bloody amazing.
It's one of those things that can't be taken away from you. They always say, you know, your knowledge and experiences are something that no one can rob. Yeah. Your knowledge of history will live with you forever.
Well, the nice thing about that show is we got to share our love of history. So I was talking to Ant over the weekend, And we're both excited about who we're going to be featuring next on the show. And we've got a whole list of people that we're going to talk about. So it's not like it's going to go away. But if you want to be involved, let us know. If you've got a company or a brand that wants to be associated with Blind History, it can be yours as from today. So here's an interesting story.
It could be an underwear company. It could be called Panty History.
It could be. No. That's right, Leanne. We could do a whole series of Panty History. That's right.
So here's under history.
Here's a story that both of you will have something to say about, because I hadn't even really noticed that they'd done anything. But Instagram is pausing a rollout of new features following backlash online from users, influencers, and celebrities. Among the new features was an increase in recommended video content in a similar style to TikTok. Display and feeds were criticized as people felt they were not seeing photos from friends and family as much. Meta, Instagram's parent company, said they wanted to take the time to get the changes right. So obviously users shat on them and they were like, okay, we'll pause. Stop. The revamp of Instagram towards more video content is believed to have been ignited by the soaring popularity of TikTok, where users post and watch more video as opposed to static photographs. So what do we think of this?
I think this
TikTok's
is
always
terrible.
Been, sorry, we clearly have strong opinions.
Yeah, go. I knew you two would.
Go ahead, Leanne.
TikTok's always tried to copy everyone else. They've always been the, we're trying to survive, so let's try this. Let's change the shape of
you
our
mean
photographs.
Instagram?
Yeah.
You said TikTok.
Now,
I'm confused.
Sorry, Instagram. Now let's try and make our photographs portrait size instead of square, because we have to keep up with the videos. It's like the poor baby of, and it also irritates me because it's the perfect house for these, or platform rather, for these influencers who live these perfect lives.
Yeah.
Which is why I'll always be a TikTok fan until it becomes so commercial that we're sick of it. Tell us, Mash, what your thoughts are.
Hey. One thing I really hate most about this whole Instagram trying to be literally everything else thing is that at some point they lost their core values. They lost what Instagram is all about. Instagram used to be just about logging in, seeing pretty people, seeing people showing off their best versions of themselves, their best bodies, their best food, showing off their workouts. Simple, straightforward. Nowadays, they have no identity. YouTube goes and does something. Instagram follows along. First of all, they started that IGTV thing, which clearly flopped because the app is now gone. And that actually allowed people to add 10-minute long videos to their Instagram feed. Who wanted 10-minute long videos on Instagram? Who has the time? You want to scroll and like. See cute people, see bums, see whatever, and just like. That's all you want to see on Instagram. So when they came along and did that, that was already quite worrying. Then they came at the Reels.
And don't you remember also, didn't they at some point, they also copied Snapchat? They had like, you know, all the filters.
With the stories.
And the stories, yeah. Right.
They're just copying everyone. So they kind of have no identity at this point. And also, TikTok does what they do so well. Their viral videos, their algorithm, you see everyone's videos. As opposed to Instagram, where also the content on Instagram is not as vibrant. It's not as out there as on TikTok.
It's not engaging.
Yeah, it's mostly just people just taking videos of themselves, just turning, saying, look at me mostly. And can't do much with that.
Well, here's a story about your TikTok, you two. And it's hilarious because Tracy says she watched a documentary last night about a girl who was addicted to TikTok, who's developed tics and Tourette's-like syndromes.
Not just one,
TikTok,
it's many.
TikTok.
No, it's many. It's really interesting. So, Tracy, I'm so glad that you've seen it, because I saw the trailer and I didn't know if it would be available to South Africa. So I'd love to know which platform you watched that on. But it's true. They started, TikTok. Obviously, there's not everything good about every platform. So another thing that TikTok is known for is spreading the ADHD. News, and now everyone has ADHD, right? The same thing happened with this Tourette's thing, but it's really interesting because it's beyond just wanting to be like the person that you're watching. There's actually a phenomenon that occurs. Don't you remember those old village stories when the villagers, you'll know, Gareth, were overcome with mass hysteria or mm-hmm. laughing fits or dancing fits?
Ooh, yeah, it's a social contagion.
Yes, yes. So that's what's happened with Tourette's. And it's affected mainly girls who are teenagers.
Well, I mean, because girls who are teenagers are susceptible to all kinds of stupid shit. Honestly, yeah, I mean,
that's true.
Teenage girls are probably the most easily influenced group of people on planet Earth at any given time. Always. Mm. And if something is cool,
so Tracy says it was
if the cool girls
60 Minutes Australia.
Yeah, 60 Minutes Australia. If the cool girl does something, then all the other girls do it as well. Mm. You've actually had a spate of this in America too with a lot of these sort of transgender things that have been going on. It's a social contagion where teenage girls especially, they've seen a 4,000% increase in trans girls.
Hmm.
Why?
Ooh.
Because one or two girls decided this was cool and interesting, and it got you automatic points in society. And it also stopped people from bullying you, because if they bully you and you're trans, you could say it's discrimination. And you can actually have something done about it. So now there are a whole bunch of girls doing it, even though they're not. And some of them are even going for operations, getting on hormone
and
blockers.
Some are reversing what they've had done as well.
Correct. Puberty blockers. It's becoming really, really bad. So there's a massive, massive amount of trouble on the way because of girls in this social contagion thing. You know, boys is less so because boys, I think they fight, they get it out of their system and they move on. And also boys aren't as prone to being acceptable and cool as girls are. Jesus, there's a lot of pressure on young girls. Wow.
There is a lot.
Massive. Mm. So, I mean, these are things to think about.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I noticed as well, that these social media platforms are among the youth, among the little kids especially. My aunt's daughter cannot pay attention. She spends so much time on TikTok that her attention span is so short.
Shortened.
It is so short because she's used to just scrolling fast, watching 5-second clips, 10-second clips at most. She can't pay attention to anything. She can't even watch her favorite TV shows anymore. She gets bored so quick.
That's been proven to that's a thing. It's absolutely a thing. And I mean, as someone who's in their 40s and loves TikTok, I used to watch YouTube and I can't anymore. I get bored because the videos are too long.
Yes.
So it absolutely happens.
I wonder if there is a perfect amount of screen time that we should all have. And whether we should enforce those things on ourselves. You can't really have anyone else do it. But, you know, for example, with kids, I know my two nephews, my sister-in-law says to them, you can have, I think it's an hour or two of screen time a day. That's it. And if you do more than that, it's not allowed. They'll take the devices away. And I think maybe that would be good for all of us because these screens are mesmerizing and you actually can't do anything about it. Once you're addicted, you're addicted. And then it's too late. You can't do anything else.
Yeah. But we need to keep in mind there's a difference between screen time and leisure screen time.
Yeah.
Screen time, if you took that away from me, I wouldn't be able to do my job. You know, I mean, I spend my life in front of the screen.
Yes.
But if you added up my day, I'd spend 8 hours in front of a laptop screen.
Sure.
Another 3 hours on watching TV, another screen, and another 2 on my phone screen when I'm horizontal. It's just crazy.
Well, I mean, so my phone gives me a weekly report on how much screen time I've had, so I can actually monitor it. And I'm going to do that now and see. Let's compare in a week's time how much screen time we all had. Shall we do that?
Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right. This time next week, we will compare and we'll see who's got the least and who's got the most screen time. And don't lie, okay? Tell the truth. We want to know exactly. And if you want to join in on that, we want to know who listens to us and has the most screen time out of everybody. We want to hear from you. All right. Lots of things to talk about this morning. Besides that, there's also some news on the Chinese booster rockets. So I know you guys are going on about how great, you know, TikTok is. China is the mastermind behind TikTok. China's also behind sending this rocket to space, which is fine. But the debris of the rocket, you know, the rocket kind of drops pieces off of it as it burns fuel and gets into the upper atmosphere. So China just doesn't seem to care. Apparently, their rocket debris caught fire while entering the Earth's airspace, and the movement of the burning debris crossed Malaysian airspace and could be detected in several areas, including crossing the airspace around the state of Sarawak. And China don't care. They don't give a damn. A Chinese booster rocket made an uncontrolled return to Earth on Friday, and then on Saturday, very early, apparently U.S. officials chided Beijing for not sharing information about the potentially hazardous object falling to Earth. In a statement posted to its official WeChat profile, the China Manned Space Agency later gave coordinates for an impact area in the Sulu Sea, which is about 35 miles off the coast of the Philippines. Notice they don't do it in their own sea or airspace. They're like, ah.
Also, they're called China Man?
Yes, China Manned Space Agency. Anyway, so Malaysia Space Agency said it detected rocket debris burning up on re-entry before falling into the Sulu Sea. The debris of the rocket caught fire while entering the Earth's airspace, and the movement of the burning debris also crossed Malaysian airspace. And people are criticizing China. Jeez. They're like, can't you keep it together? China really does.
Yeah.
China does not give a shit about anyone else on Earth.
Yeah.
They really don't.
Yeah.
It really does seem like they don't care, because
don't give a shit.
I feel like with that type of math and calculations and all of that, that go into actually a rocket launch,
don't give
they should
a
have
damn.
Known. They knew.
Yeah.
China doesn't care. They gave us Wuhan flu. They've given us TikTok, and now they're just dropping pieces of rocket shit all over the world. All over the world.
Russia isn't far behind.
Outrageous.
In countries that don't care.
Well, I think China don't. Listen, can I just say something about Russia since you brought it up? I saw this amazing thing on some social media. I can't even remember what it was this weekend. Russia is actually up against a huge coalition. All the European powers, the United States, most of the world. There are only about six countries that are actually on Russia's side. And with only a tenth of their army, they're still doing damn well in Ukraine. Now, I'm not a Russia fan. I know that they started this war. I know that Vladimir Putin is a dangerous man. But you've got to like give it up for Russia, because they have not lost yet, and they're fighting hard. And they're up against up against everybody. Is that your cat, Leanne?
Yeah, speaking of fighting hard.
Jesus, your cats sound like they're from...
My cats are like Mother Russia right now.
Unbelievable.
Jeez.
All right.
Sure. But yeah, Russia is just doing their own thing at this point. And I mean, they've gone completely independent.
They don't care
about
the rest of us.
For example, they no longer have McDonald's. They launched their own version of McDonald's, which is called... I'm going to butcher this. I'm reading this. It's called Vukusno Itoha. That's what it's called.
I'm sure that's
and
wrong.
It, what it translates to tasty, and that's it. That's the name of the Russian McDonald's.
Tasty,
straight
and that's
to the
it.
Point. Tasty, and that's it.
All right. Well, I'm not holding my breath for Russian McDonald's. Most of the stuff that. That they eat is revolting, so it's not really something I'm excited to go and try. I'm not going to be flying to Vladivostok to go and try some tasty, and that's it.
Vodka soaked patties.
Yeah, right. Let us turn our attention to Dr. Hanan. It is time for It's Going to Be Okay. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Hey guys, I'm well. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you. We got a really interesting story here today. I don't know if you've seen the email. I sent it to you. But Ash is going to tell us about her family situation, which is absolutely unbelievable. And maybe just before we get to Ash and her story, what do you think is a healthy amount of screen time? I mean, you probably see people who come into you and say, hey, Doc, I'm a little bit worried about my social media addiction. You know, everything can be addictive, and people don't realize this. You can be addicted to exercise. You can be addicted to drinking water. You can be addicted to sport. You can be addicted to work. It's not just the obvious ones, you know, like the I'm addicted to drugs or I'm addicted to alcohol or any of that stuff. So tell me, with the I think we've got Ash here on the on the stream here. I'll get to Ash in a second. How much is too much, Doc, basically, for people who, you know, are on the screen 24/7?
So you know what, like, this is going to get quite boring, but as you know, I'm a big fan of investing your time into things that create value, and nothing has value outside of the context of the goal. So if somebody says to me, Hanan, I just had a whole cheesecake, is that good or bad? My answer is, I don't know, what's the goal? If the goal is to lose weight, it was the wrong thing. If the goal is to enjoy the every second of your existence, then that was damn awesome. Nothing is outside of context and means nothing, means anything. So you've got to ask yourself, the amount of time that I spend on the screen, is that the best way to invest your time and energy in getting closer to your goal? If if you're a chef and you're investing time into finding out new recipes, getting creative, finding new ideas, then that's good. You should invest into that. But if you're investing your time comparing your life to someone else, that is the worst way to spend your time on social media, for sure.
Okay, so that's a useful bit of info. I just thought we'd throw that in before we start talking to Ash. So, Ash, why don't you tell your story? Ash is going to keep her camera off because she wants to remain anonymous. Got a hell of a story here. It started years ago, Ash, when you escaped Eastern European communism with your family and you moved to Canada, right?
Hi, good morning. Yes. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
No,
so we left Romania in 82. And as you know, the wall came down in 89. So my father had escaped in 80 on his own and made his way to Montreal. And 2 years later, we joined him. Now, add to that that my parents are deaf. So that means they can't hear. I suspect they each had like some kind of childhood infection, and so it wasn't hereditary.
So both your parents are deaf?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And so I'm the youngest of three girls. My older sisters are 9 and 10 years older. And as you can imagine, integration into Canada, where there's two languages, was challenging. Mm-hmm. And so I became an adult very early. And relationships have frayed since then due to the responsibility of it all. And my parents also have a little bit of a personality disorder. My father suffers from alcoholism, and my mother is a bit of a narcissist. So combine that with a disability kind of really makes it hard on the soul. And so I started to travel just to get away from the house and moved to Cape Town about 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And since then, obviously, the pandemic happened. There's been a wedding, there's been a funeral, and there's been years that have passed, and they haven't softened. So none of us are speaking. The three sisters are not speaking to each other, and no one's speaking to our parents. I've tried to reconcile and hand out an olive branch, and I've failed, and it's backfired. And whenever I try and talk about it with my friends or even in therapy, all I hear is get over it, move on, let it go. And the ambiguous grief and the weight of it all is just, it's no longer something I can talk about without people rolling their eyes, but it's the biggest thing I'm dealing with. And I'm just curious as to your thoughts, because you mentioned last week that if your life is big enough, you can manage the loss. And I just wonder what your thoughts are.
Wow.
So Ash, what is the ideal outcome for you? What do you want to create? What do you want to achieve? What's the goal?
The opportunity to be a sister and have a sister, the opportunity to be a daughter and have a parent. And it might be asking for too much. Maybe they're clearly not at that space in their evolution, but I don't get to play out those roles. I don't get to have those experiences.
Right, right. So, Ash, I want to mention a couple of things that could be useful to you. First of all, any relationship, think about it as a game. And I don't mean it in any frivolous way. All I mean is there are certain rules to playing a game. So I play a game with my kids. So I have certain rule sets for them. They have certain rule sets for me. We agree on those rule sets and we have a good game. I have a game that I play with my wife. I have a game that I play with particular friends. I have a game that I play with my patients. I have games that I play with my mentor, with my mom, with my brother. And the thing about a relationship is that you both have to agree on the rules of the game. The problem is when... Say that again?
The dynamic.
The dynamic, so the rules. So, for example, now let's just be more specific with you. You say you want to have a relationship with your sisters and you want to have a relationship with your parents. But having a relationship requires another party, well, the other person on the other side of the table, to want to play that game. I need your sisters to say, I want to be a sister to you as well. I need your mom to say, I want to be a mom to you as well. I need your dad to say, I want to be a dad. Because the moment you have the other party saying, I don't want to play this game called mom, called dad, called sister, well, as much as you want to play the game, there is no game. There's nothing to be played. And what's going to happen is you are naturally going to get hurt because you're investing time and energy and effort and emotion into playing a game that doesn't exist. The aim for you, Ash, is not to marry what you wish it would be or what you wish it was, but rather to marry the reality of what it is. And what it is it seems, at least from what you're, the way you're explaining, that you have sisters, you have parents that don't want to be sisters and don't want to be parents. And that is a very tough pull to swallow, because ideally as a child, we want nothing more than to have a healthy relationship with mom, a healthy relationship with dad. But you need a healthy mom and dad to want to be mom and dad in order for us to have a relationship with mom and dad. Mom is a very loaded word. Dad is a very loaded word. It means a lot of things. But to you, you have to think about it, not in terms of what you wish it was, but again, what it actually is. And that requires a process of grief, because you have to let go of the fantasy and the dream, and you have to accept the reality of what it is. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And that's what I was going to speak to you about. It's the grief and it's also the stigma, right? Because we all know, like, oh, somebody doesn't have a stable relationship with their family. Ooh, you know, you don't want to get too close to that person, you know, and this stonewalling behavior is so entrenched, not only in my family, but culturally. You know, there's a secret police has destroyed communities' trust in each other. So I'm very good at stonewalling. I'm very good at burning bridges. And it's all of these dynamics play out post-acceptance.
Mm, for sure. What you want to do is you want to ensure that the dynamics between you and, or what you've learned between you and your sisters and between your mom or you and your dad, you and your parents, doesn't affect the character that you are in a negative way. Because it's so easy to go through an experience that you have, the many experiences that you have had, and suddenly stop trusting other people and stop trusting the world, which makes you, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying it will make a person naturally very bitter and very negative towards others. It actually makes them more distant, build up walls, create that kind of gap between yourself and others. And I want you to not take this as a lesson in how bad the world is, but I want you to take this as a lesson of what can I do? What can you do to make things better for you? How do you take the negative lessons and make it positive in your relationship with your spouse, in your relationship, maybe if you have kids or one day you'll have kids, perhaps, or your relationship with your friends? Make this make you a better person. Now, two things. Number one, you talk about the stigma. I want to assure you from my experience is that even though, you know, society says there are certain rules to abide by in order to be healthy or to be seen in a particular way, please believe me, Ash, believe me, nobody cares. No one cares. people might, you know, if you don't fit into a mold, you might be seen as X or Y or Z, but in reality, nobody cares. In other words, people move on with their lives. People have their own issues. People have their own troubles. People have their own challenges. Nobody, you know who's judging you? People that are unhappy within themselves. I promise you, people that are filled and full and feel fulfilled and have a sense of purpose and have their own direction and drive and are not comparing their lives to anybody else are happy for you because of the character that you are, not from where you come from. The people that do care, the people that do judge, the people that do try to get you to feel less than because you don't have as much or you don't have or you haven't reached a particular point, those are the people that shouldn't be part of your circle anyway. So for you to think, well, the stigma, it's only for those, is only in your head with those people that shouldn't be in your circle anyway. But the question is, how do you, and what I want to help you with is, how do you then move from the process of grief? How do you then learn to accept that this is it? I want you to act with the reality of what it is. In other words, if you accept it, imagine yourself 5 years down the line, completely accepting of the fact that this is the relationship with your sisters, non-existent. This is the relationship with your parents, non-existent. Imagine in 5 years' time you accepted it. You fully accepted it. Let's just play this vision game. You accepted it. How would you act? Sorry, so what I was saying is imagine in 5 years' time you were fully accepting of where you were, accepting of the fact that this was, that you didn't have a relationship with your sister, you didn't have a relationship with your parents, what would you do? So you would say to me, Hanan, I would focus on my friends, I would focus on my work, I would focus on my sense of purpose, I would focus on my health, I would focus on the things that bring me joy, I would focus on my financial stability. That is what I want you to do now. I want you to act in line with what you would be like if you were fully accepting. Now, you would say to me, what's the benefit of that? Here's the benefit, Ash. The moment you act as if, emotions always follow. The moment you act as if, emotions will always follow. It's not let me feel, then do. It's always do, and emotions always follow. And I'll give you a quick analogy. The bungee jumping. If you stand on the edge of this platform and you're about to bungee jump, the moment you say to yourself, let me feel comfortable and then I'll jump, what will happen is you'll never jump because you can't control how you feel. But the moment you jump, you act. And even though it feels fake and it feels scary, but you jump, it feels bad. You jump, it feels worse. You jump, it feels worse. But now jump 100 times, now you start feeling better. Behavior first, emotions always follow. So my advice to you is, as difficult and as fake as it feels, act with the reality of what it is. Do it 100 times. Emotions always follow.
What's interesting that you say that, because last year I actually decided to change my birth name. And it's as a personal anchor, as a bookmark for me of like, okay, who do I want to behave like? Who am I being? Who am I, bringing myself into? And that's been a transition, you know, because people don't like that kind of confusion and it sounds neurotic and, you know, self-important and whatever, but it really comes from that place of I'm going to define it moving forward.
Brilliant. That's very powerful. That's incredibly empowering. Well done to you. Even though that takes, again, an incredible amount of courage. And again, there's a process of loss because you have to go from what it was to what it is. That's an incredible first step in the bungee jump experience. But you have to do that. And people make the mistake. They bungee jump and they go, but I feel worse. I say to them, continue bungee jumping until your emotions resonate with their behavior. So continue doing this. This is very powerful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow, Ash.
It is really my pleasure.
I mean, that's
it. And please insert all inappropriate jokes. I don't want to start off anyone's week with like a depressing story. So
go ahead. No, don't worry. No, listen, I mean, you sound like someone who's really getting it together. And I mean, just judging from the obvious, you know, difficulty of this situation, it sounds to me like you really are, you're one of those people who can make things incredible and make things better. It sounds like you already have, making these brave moves, like moving to Cape Town, like changing your birth name. Yeah. I mean, that's incredible stuff. So you're already on the right path. And Doc, your advice is absolutely spectacular. Thank you.
Well, thanks. That means a lot, Gareth. I've been listening for way too many years. I call it the Church of Gareth. So that means a lot. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. That's no pressure on me. Well, Ash, you keep listening to us and nothing bad will ever happen to you. What can I say?
I'll see you in the comments.
Awesome. Thank you, Ash.
Thank you, Dr.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you on. Thank you. Wow, Doc, you lay it on. I mean, last week was pretty intense as well. I think we're getting to some.
It was intense.
We're getting to some good stuff.
And you know what? No, for sure. And I just want to say one thing, that the reason why Ash is able to move forward is because she's honest. There's no BSing. She's real with what she's going through. There's no sense of pretending that, that this is something that it is not. She puts it on the table and we deal with it. That's the real first step.
Absolutely. All right, Doc, thank you very much. We'll see you in a week.
Nice to see you guys.
Very good, Dr. Anan Bushkin. All right, we'll be back with more in the little bit that we've got to do now, but we'll rejoin you, including Leanne has a story about a blue mermaid, which I think, as if you haven't heard enough weird shit this morning, that should take you to the next
talking about reality.
Absolutely. So all of that and more on the way with me and Mash and Leanne, all next. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.